2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord of God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I deliver you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm." When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation, our passage this morning, 2 Samuel 12 from 15 through 25, is located in the middle of 2 Samuel and is preceded by about 10 chapters that speak of the faithfulness and the blessings of the Lord to David and his kingdom. When King Saul died, David was proclaimed as the new king of Israel. The Lord made a covenant with him. And as a result of the Lord's blessings, God extended the dominions of David's kingship. Everything went good until David forgot the grace, the blessings, and the protection of his God, and he committed two terrible sins. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he sent to kill her husband Uriah. And as a result of this, when you read the second part of 2 Samuel, basically describes all the problems and the tribulations that came to David's own person, to David's family, and to his kingdom. So one of the lessons that we learn from this is that the Lord hates sin. Sin offends the Lord, and the Lord punishes sin and the sinner. And also, even though he forgives our sins, sins has terrible consequences in our lives, in our families, and in this case, in the kingdom of David. So on this morning, our passage begins, so to say, begins to speak about the just judgment of God in the life of David. How the word that he sent through the prophet Nathan began to be fulfilled in the life of David. Because of David's adultery with Bathsheba and the mother of Uriah, her husband, the Lord said to David in 2 Samuel 12, 14, notice what he said. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. And we also read that the Lord said to him that the sword will never leave, depart from his house. And immediately as we finish reading verse 14, we come to our sermon text in verse 15. We read that after Nathan the prophet went to his house, that the Lord himself began to fulfill his word in the life of David. We read, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. You see, brothers and sisters, what the Lord promises to do, he fulfills. And also, we read that the one who is doing this to David is the Lord himself. he was offended by David's sin. And he said to Nathan, I'm going to punish him. And he's doing it. The Lord takes sin seriously. He's patient, but he's also just. He's merciful, but he's also just. And he punishes the sinner because sin offends the name of the Lord. In this case, brothers and sisters, even though the Lord began to fulfill his word against the house of David by punishing his son, still we see God's grace in the life of David. Who is the one who deserved to die? David. He is the one who deserved to die. But this punishment of the Lord is within the larger context of God's forgiveness to David as well. We read that the Lord said through Nathan in verse 13, the Lord has also forgiven you, put away your sin. So, even this judgment of God to David didn't come to him because God was just angry and he just wanted to hurt him and kill his son. But even in this judgment of God, we're able to see God's mercy to David. David understood this really well. And he wrote a beautiful psalm, Psalm 100, verse 10, where he said the following words. 103, verse 10. It says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You see, David knew that the Lord was just and righteous in his judgment, and that he was not being punished according to his sin. But the Lord was beginning to fulfill his word of judgment. But on the other side, when God comes and punishes David by making his son to die, we learn that God truly loved David. But God could not overlook David's sin. He loved David, and because of that reason, he had to discipline him. He had to punish him. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 13, 22, these words in regards to David. It says, and when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. The Lord loved David. But precisely because of his love, he had to discipline him. He had to discipline King David. This is also what we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 10. There we read these words. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So the Lord is punishing David, but is also showing his love in correcting him because of his sin. And we should not forget that even the Lord loves us. Even the Lord extended his mercy and grace to us. He hates sin as well. And he punishes sin soon or later. This hasn't changed in the New Testament. Actually, when we go to the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, 6, we read exactly the same words from Proverbs 3, that God, the one who loves, he disciplines, he punishes, in order to correct him. So let us not take for granted God's love. Let us not take God's love as an excuse to sin, because he is just, and because he loves us, he will also punish us, discipline us. We'll see later, brothers and sisters, from our passage that even though the Lord made the son of David die, it may sound hard and harsh that the Lord, instead of punishing David directly in his own person, he's killing this little one. But we'll see that even in that case, the Lord's grace and mercy was extended to this child because he belonged to the covenant of the Lord. And in killing him through this sickness, he was not condemning this child, but was actually saving him because he belonged to the covenant of God. But notice what he says in verse 15 of our text, 2 Samuel 12, 15. We read the following words. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. You see what he says? It doesn't say the Lord struck the child that David's wife. He says Uriah's wife. And the author is emphasizing the fact that this child was the result of adultery. That this child was a result of a serious sin that David committed before the Lord. And he became ill. Other translations read that he became very, very ill. And actually he died from it. So you see, adultery in this case is a serious sin that God actually punishes even with death. And we live in a day in which our children in the schools are actually being instructed that to have safe sex is good. They are being instructed that way. And what do you think is going to happen when they grow older and they marry? Do you think they're going to remain faithful to their spouses? No. And adultery is a serious sin. It's a serious sin that brings terrible consequences not only to David, not only to his family, but also to his kingdom. And we can say the same thing to us today. Adultery is a serious sin that brings terrible consequences to the person, to the marriage, to the family, and eventually to the society at large. So let's learn from this fact that adultery is a serious sin that offends the Lord. And God punishes adultery. He's merciful to us. He's patient to us. But if we do not repent, if we do not confess our sins, we will experience God's wrath because of that. But what happened then, brothers and sisters, when the child became ill? What happened in verses 16 and 17? We read that David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. That's what we read in verse 16. Then we read that he would not eat food with them, and he was laying on the ground. He didn't want to get up. He was laying on the ground. This is the response of David when he knew that his child was sick. He was praying to the Lord. He self-humble. He was suffering because of his child. But he was praying and praying to the Lord to heal him. But David already knew that the Lord said that he was going to kill the child. The child was going to die. Why is David then praying to God not to let the child die but to live? Is he rebelling against the judgment of God? Is he not accepting the fact that the child is going to die? No. First, I think David was truly repentant. He was truly repentant because he said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He understood that he offended the Lord. But on the other hand, he understood that God is merciful. Look what he says in verse 22, when his servants asked him why he was doing that. He said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?'" You see, David knew that the Lord was just and righteous in his judgment, but also knew that the Lord was merciful. He was a loving God, and he was praying. And that's the mark of a true Christian. Even though when we sin, we know that God punishes sin, but at the same time, we know that he's merciful, and we have the confidence and the trust to come before him and pray to him, "Be merciful to me. Be merciful to this child." So David understood that God was merciful. And while he was alive, he had hope that the Lord may heal this child. What a great lesson and comfort we get from that as well. While we are still alive, there is always hope. There is always hope to pray to the Lord, to come to his throne of grace, and humble before him, and plead for forgiveness, but also for mercy, for grace in this case. He was truly humble, and he was truly suffering because of this child. Remember that even though this child was the result of adultery with Bathsheba, David loved Bathsheba, and most probably he loved this child as well. And in this case, even though David knew that the child was going to die, he still reveals his heart that he was a tender father, that he truly loved this child. If you recall, when God tested Abraham, he ordered Abraham to sacrifice whom? Isaac, exactly, the one that that Abraham loved. He loved Isaac. And in this case, it's very interesting as well that the Lord says to David, "I'm going to punish you by killing your son." Most probably the one that David loved. So he loved this child, and he humbles himself so that in verse 17 we read that the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. You see, brothers and sisters, David understood that God was fulfilling his word, that he had offended him, but also revealed that he loved his son. We read from Psalm 51 that David learned that he had sinned against the Lord, as we read in 2 Samuel 12. But notice what he says in Psalm 51. He says in this psalm that he wrote after he realized that he sinned against the Lord, he says in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." So David learned that he sinned against the Lord. He indeed hurt Uriah, and because of his sin, the child died. But first of all, he had sinned against the Lord. And that's why David, he humbles himself. He suffers, and he knows that he has offended the Lord because of that terrible sin. But then what happened after David knew that the child was dead? Notice what he says in verse 18. "Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. Notice first in verse 18 that on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. You see, the author of this passage is very specific. It says on the seventh day. We don't know exactly why he says the seventh day. It probably means that the child got sick and then on the seventh day of his illness he died. Or it probably means also that as soon as the child was born, he got sick, and on the seventh day, he died, which means that he was not circumcised. But also it could mean that the seventh day, as you know, when you read the scriptures, is like a perfect number that expresses completeness. And it's probably the fact that the author is telling us that the Lord had a specific time for the child to die. That he was going to fulfill his word, and his word was going to come to pass. And it did. The Lord took the child. But what happened then? Well, the servants, especially maybe his counselors, the wise people in the palace, they were afraid that David was going to hurt himself when he says at the end of verse 18, how can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. The idea there is that David may harm himself, hurt himself, maybe commit suicide or do something. But we must remember that everything that David was doing, brothers and sisters, was within the context of the word of God to Nathan. His suffering, his self-abasement or humiliation before everybody in the palace was not just something that he decided to do, but he decided to do it because he knew that he could trust and rest in the word of the Lord. His servants didn't, because his servants were concerned about him. And they said, now the child is dead. It will let him know he may commit something terrible. But notice what David did in verse 19. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servant, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. What a dramatic change in David's attitude. But he acted that way because he knew that the word of the Lord, painful as it was for him, was finally fulfilled. And that he's faithful to his word. And now he said, okay, the child has died. And now David understands that the Lord is starting to work to correct him. And now what are you going to do when something like this happens in your life? When a tragedy comes to your life, what are you going to do? Well, David gives us a good example. Before this tragedy, instead of complaining and insulting and rebelling against the Lord, he continues to humble himself and he washes, he anoints himself, he changes his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped him. It's very similar to Job, remember, when he knew that all his children were dead and all his possessions were lost. He worshiped the Lord. And this is what David is doing. He is worshiping the Lord. And notice that he didn't eat. And apparently he didn't eat for several days, at least for 7 days, because he was fasting. And we read that he didn't want to get up from the ground nor eat food with the elders of the palace. But when the child dies, instead of first eating, what does David do? He goes to the house of the Lord and worships the Lord. You see, even worshiping God was more important and urgent to David than eating food. So David takes this occasion, his own sin and the death of the child, to renew his commitment to the Lord, to renew his dedication to him, to say, "Oh Lord, thank you that you spared my life. You have fulfilled your word. Now you deserve worship and praise. And I want to come into a more intimate and personal relationship with you." Brothers and sisters, this is indeed impossible for us to do when we are going through a tragedy. When something terrible happens into our lives, it is not easy to come to the house of the Lord and worship him. It is not easy to humble before the Lord and accept his judgment and punishment. But when we don't do that, instead of experiencing peace and comfort, we become more angry, more resented, and we indeed hurt ourselves even more. So what do you do when troubles come to your life? Do you complain against the Lord? Sometimes we do, because we are sinful people. But in the end, we have to remember, as David, remember the word of God through the prophet Nathan, that he was forgiven by the Lord in spite of his own sin. He remembered that word and took comfort in the word of the Lord. And also, in the Bible, we have so many promises of the Lord. He said to Joshua, "I will never leave you nor abandon you." We read in Romans 8 that everything that happens to those who love the Lord work for their good. Do you truly believe in those promises of the Lord? Do you truly believe that he will help you and that he will not send you a test that you cannot overcome? That he will be with you no matter how painful it is, what you are experiencing? You see, David's attitude showed that he truly believed in the word of the Lord. You may say, "Well, but the Lord talked to him directly in person through the prophet Nathan." Yes, it is true, but we have the word of God. And isn't the Bible the living word of God, where we have his promises, where we have his word? Can we really trust and believe in his promises? It is very easy for us to respond to God's judgment in our lives with anger and instead to joining and coming to the body of believers, to the house of the Lord to worship him. We just go somewhere else. And if someone is willing to come and comfort us, we take offense at that. But that is not the right way for a Christian to react and respond before troubles. We should humble himself and accept God's punishment, God's judgment, and also to worship him. Because even when we do not understand and we don't see how the Lord is going to help us and glorify his name through the difficulties and problems that we have, he is the Lord God Almighty who is able to do that, to glorify himself and also to strengthen us to go through all kinds of problems that he sends to our lives. But that is the attitude David took when the child died. And notice that there are two responses, actually. David's response that we already explained, that he accepted God's word and worshiped the Lord. And also the attitude or response from the servants of the palace, from his counselors, from the wise people around him. Notice that they are upset because of what David is doing. And notice that David, he worshiped the Lord first, and then he ate. And after that, the servants came to him and said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" So they didn't even care on the fact that David went to the house of the Lord and worshiped him. They were just upset because of David was acting in that way. But David gives them the reason. He explains to them. And this is where, brothers and sisters, we see that doctrine really matters. That to have the right doctrine is so important. Because notice what David says in verse 22. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? You see, David knew that the Lord was merciful, as we said. And that's why he continued to pray while the child was alive. But now in verse 23 gives us the full reason of his attitude. But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. There is always hope while we are alive. Once we're dead, according to the scriptures, we should not pray for those who are dead. They are dead, and the Lord will deal with them. But David says, then I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. This has been understood as, well, the child is dead. We all die, and the day will come to me when I'm going to die. But do you think that that was truly the comfort that David had? That he was just happy, okay, Lord, you kill my son. He's dead. Now life has to keep moving. Do you think that that was really David's comfort? No. I think when he went to the house of the Lord and worshiped the Lord, and when he remembered the word of the Lord through the prophet Nathan, when he remembered that this child belonged to the covenant of God, to the people of God, when he says, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me, he meant more just than dying. He meant that, you know, this child was in the presence of the Lord. That he went to heaven. And that's where David was heading to be in the presence of the Lord. That was his comfort. What a blessing to us as Bible believers and Reformed believers who believe in the doctrine of the covenant. Notice, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. But in spite of their sin, this child still belonged to the covenant. He was a member of the covenant. He was the recipient of God's blessing, of God's forgiveness, of God's salvation. Have you lost a child in his or her infancy or childhood? Have you lost a child even in the womb? Well, this is the comfort that we take from the word of the Lord. He shall not return to me, to this world of sin and suffering, but he's already in heaven. And if he goes first there, then we will also be with him or her in the presence of the Lord. So this was David's comfort. He knew that in spite of his sin, the Lord, when he took the child, was actually saving this child. That's why we as Reformed believers believe, for example, in infant baptism. Not that baptism saves the child, but it's the seal and the sign of the Lord that is telling us this child belongs to the covenant of God. He belongs to the people of God. And as the canons of Dort tells us, if they die in infancy, we should be assured that our children are in the presence of the Lord. So in the middle of sin, God's grace abounded even more. And this is what we read to finish in verses 24 and 25. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. You see, The Lord comforted David. He then goes and comforted his wife Bathsheba. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, that the God of all mercies and compassion and comfort, he is the one who comforts us in our tribulations so that we may comfort others who are going through the same problems or similar problems. So God comforted David. Now he goes and comforts Bathsheba. She talks to her, and they went together and lay with her. Notice that David, in doing this, brothers and sisters, is realizing God has forgiven me, and God has given me another opportunity to have another son. So God's forgiveness means life. There was death in the house of David. Now there is life in the house of David. And he understood that now there was peace between him and God. That's why when she bore a son, he called his name Solomon, which actually literally means his, that is to say, the Lord's restoration or peace. So David understood, Lord, thank you. Now there is peace between you and me, between you and my house, between you and my kingdom. And this is actually what it says at the end of verse 24. Now the Lord loved him. You see, David didn't deserve this, brothers and sisters. He deserved to be deposed as king of Israel, to be executed. But the Lord loved him and loved his son Solomon. And then in verse 25 we read, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. You see, the subject in verse 25 is the Lord himself. David says, I'm going to name him Solomon. The Lord says, I'm going to name him Jedidiah, which means loved of the Lord. That the Lord loved him. And in this, the author is pointing us to the ultimate true Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom he truly fulfilled his word to David that his kingdom shall have no end, that he will bring peace not only to the kingdom of Israel, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, he was going to bring peace to all the world, to you and me, who then were excluded from the blessings of the Lord. But now in Christ, the beloved of the Lord, as Paul says in Ephesians, the one who loves the Lord, the one that the Lord loves and take pleasure in him, as we read in the baptism accounts when the Lord says, this is my son whom I love. It is through him that we're able to have peace and experience in God's grace in our lives. We, brothers and sisters, are like David. We commit adultery, either physically or in our hearts. We commit sins that offend the Lord, and we deserve death like David. But instead of that, the Lord is merciful to us, and he sent his son, and he humbled himself even to the point of death, the death of the cross, to die in our place.